بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. عن عبد الله بن مسعود رضي الله تعالى عنه قال: قال لي النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: اقرأ علي القرآن. فقلت: يا رسول الله، أقرأ عليك وعليك أنزل. قال: إني أحب أن أسمعه من غيري. فقرأت عليه سورة النساء حتى جئت إلى هذه الآية: فكيف إذا جئنا من كل أمة بشهيد وجئنا بك على هؤلاء شهيدا. قال: حسبك الآن. فالتفت إليه فإذا عيناه تذرفان. متفق عليه. This hadith, the closing hadith in the chapter, two aspects Imam Nawawi rahimahullah highlighted in this chapter. One is the encouragement that is given to us to beautify the Quran, recite the Quran in a melodious and in a beautiful manner. And the second aspect, that if somebody recites proficiently, to request such a person to recite and then to listen attentively to that recitation. This hadith, already in two majlises we have discussed it, just one final aspect remains. The narrator is Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to me one day, recite upon me the Quran. So I said, O Nabi of Allah, I must recite upon you, whereas the Quran was revealed upon you. To this Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنِّي أُحِبُّ أَنْ أَسْمَعَهُ مِنْ غَيْرِي. Verily, I love listening to the Qur'an from someone else. The rest of the hadith we have discussed this particular aspect, listening to the Qur'an when someone else has to recite the Qur'an. This ulama mentioned the benefit of this is that the reciter himself, more often than not, is concentrating on his recitation to render it in a good manner with tajweed, etc. Doesn't make errors or mistakes. The benefit that is afforded to the listener, someone else is reading Quran, you are listening. By this way you are able to make tadabbur, to ponder, to reflect, rather than just concentrating on the beautiful manner or on the rendition of the Qur'an. More importantly, as we mentioned yesterday, كَيْفَ يَتَأَثَّرْ قُلُوبُنَا مِنْ كَلَامِ اللَّهِ وَكَلَامِ الرَّسُولِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ, is to be concerned as to how much my heart is taking effect from the words of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So ponder, reflect over the meaning of what the person is reciting. So this opportunity, you are reading on your own, it's difficult to really make tadabbur and tafahum and tafakkur, to concentrate and to try to understand the depth of what is being read. When you are listening, then you are afforded this opportunity to a greater degree. This is why it is mentioned, Al-Qari Halib wal-Mustami' Sharib, that the example of the one who is reading is like the person who is milking the goat or milking the camel or milking the cow. And the one who is listening, his example is the one who is drinking the milk. In other words, he is given a greater opportunity to listen attentively. In fact, listening carries such a great reward that according to some, it is even better than reciting. Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala narrates that whoever listens to one verse of the Qur'an, a double reward is written for him. And whoever recites one verse, it will be a nur and light for him on the Day of Judgment. Obviously, there are other ahadith where the one who is reading the Qur'an is given greater reward. But this is just one view and one opinion. And we find that in our jamaats daily, in our halqa of ta'aleem, when this aspect of reciting the last 10 surahs of the Qur'an, here we are afforded an opportunity to practice upon these ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. where the importance of one person reading, correcting his recitation, etc. And on the other hand, another person listening and paying deep attention to whatever is being recited, making tadabbur, tafahum, tafakkur, ponder, reflect over what is being recited. As we can see the effect that the verse which Abdullah bin Mas'ud recited, 40 verses from Surah Nisa, when he reached the 41st verse, the effect, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, enough now. When he looked up, فَإِذَا عَيْنَاهُ تَذْرِفَانَ, the eyes of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were tearing, tears were pouring down the cheeks of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The effect of the recitation of the Qur'an, the particular verse, its effect upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, its significance that we discussed yesterday already. بَابُ الْحَثِّ عَلَى سُوَرٍ وَآيَاتٍ مَخْصُوصًا. This is another chapter which Imam Nawawi rahimahullah has brought under the main heading فضائل القرآن, the virtue of the Qur'an, the recitation of the Qur'an, the surahs of the Qur'an, etc. In that, Imam Nawawi rahimahullah has brought an interesting chapter which alludes to something in the Qur'an. We find that there are certain, whilst the whole Qur'an is a limitless ocean of wisdom, it is kalamullah, like Allah is eternal, this is Allah's sifat, Allah's quality, Allah's kalam. So obviously the Qur'an itself is eternal, there's no limit to it. But we find that muhaddiseen, mufassireen have mentioned that there are certain verses in the Qur'an that carry certain special, what we call khususiyat, special attributes. And likewise there are certain surahs of the Qur'an that carry certain special attributes. Imam Nawawi rahimahullah, in the light of hadith, in this particular chapter, he has gathered a few ahadith wherein more emphasis has been placed on certain verses of the Qur'an, certain surahs of the Qur'an. Babul Hathi ala Suwarin wa Ayatin Makhsusa. This is a chapter which deals with encouragement with regards to surahs and certain ayats of the Qur'an which are makhsus. There is a certain speciality with regards to it. For example, this question, if it is raised, Ayu Ayatin fil Qur'an Ajma, which is the most comprehensive verse in the Qur'an. So far as its meaning, which is the most comprehensive verse in the Qur'an, ulama ikram say that it is, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ وَإِيْتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى وَيَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ وَالْبَغْيِ يَعِظُكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ. The verse which generally in our Jummah khutbah is recited, ulama ikram say, أَجْمَعُ آيَةٍ فِي الْقُرْآنِ. Likewise, أَخْوَفُ آيَةٍ فِي الْقُرْآنِ, Qur'an-e Paak ke khofnaak tareen ayat, which is the most fearsome verse, which is the most frightening verse in the Qur'an. There are differences of opinion. One opinion is given, وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا تُرْجَعُونَ فِيهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ ثُمَّ تُوَفَّى كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَّا كَسَبَتْ وَهُمْ لَا يُظْلَمُونَ. The last verse of the Qur'an that was revealed, where Allah Ta'ala says, fear that day when you will be returned back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ثُمَّ تُوَفَّى كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَّا كَسَبَتْ وَهُمْ لَا يُظْلَمُونَ, and in full each one will be recompensed with regards to what deeds he did, and there will be no zulm or oppression on that day. Other opinions with regards to أَخْوَفُ آيَةٍ فِي الْقُرْآنِ فَذُوقُوا فَلَن نَزِيدَكُمْ إِلَّا عَذَابًا, the taste now, the only thing that will increase in Jahannam is the intensity of the azab of Jahannam, a'adhana Allahu minha. Likewise, another opinion of what is the most fearsome verse of the Quran, فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَى وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَى. This question, أَيُّ آيَةٍ أَرْجَى فِي الْقُرْآنِ, which is the verse of the Quran which gives one the greatest umid, hope. يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله. Never ever lose hope in the mercy of Allah. No matter how sinful you may be, Allah says, never ever lose hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, we find, أَيُّ آيَةٍ فِي الْقُرْآنِ أَعْظَمٍ Rasulullah s.a.w. asked one sahabi, which is the most august verse of the Qur'an, and the response was given, Ayatul Kursi, Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum. Now like that, we find in the first hadith, which Imam Nawawi rahimahullah has introduced in this chapter, if this question to be asked, Ayyu suratin fil Qur'ani a'azam, Ayyu suratin fil Qur'ani a'azam, that in the entire Qur'an, which is that Qur'an, which is that surah, which has the greatest azmat, is the most august, is the most comprehensive surah of the Qur'an, there without hesitation we'll find in the light of Sahih Hadith, it will be Suratul Fatiha. So the first hadith which Imam Nawawi rahimahullah brings in this chapter, which highlights certain ayats and certain surahs of the Qur'an, the narrator of the hadith, an Abi Sa'id Rafi' ibn Mu'alla radiyallahu anhu qal, qala li Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ala u'allimuka a'zama suratin fil Qur'an qabla an takhruja min al-masjid, fa'akhadha biyadi, falamma aradna an nakhruja qultu ya Rasulullah, innaka qult law 'allimannaka a'zama suratin fil Qur'an, قال الحمد لله رب العالمين يعني سورة فاتحة هي السبع المثاني والقرآن العظيم الذي أوتيته رواه البخاري. Very very beautiful interaction which occurred between the Sahabi and the lesson with regards to Surah Fatiha, which Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم taught him. In the context of that, Imam Nawawi rahimahullah has actually mentioned the latter part of the hadith because it is pertinent to subject matter. But what occurred in the first part of the hadith also, which is not specifically mentioned, is also very, very interesting, and an important sabak and lesson can be learned from this interaction with the sahabi whose name was Abu Sa'id Rafi' bin Mu'alla radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. He says, Kuntu usalli fil masjid. He says, once I was reading namaz, salah in the masjid. Obviously, reading salah in the masjid would be nafil salah, if he's reading on his own. There was no such thing that sahaba would read their far salah on their own. It would be with jamaat. So he was reading nafil in the masjid. Fada'ani Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called me. He wanted to tell me something. So he summoned me. That, oh, Abu Rafi, come. Sa'id bin Mu'alla. He says, فَلَمْ أُجِبْهُ I did not react or respond immediately. In other words, I completed my salah first. ثُمَّ أَتَيْتُهُ Then I came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to me, naturally, I called you, why did it take you so long to come? Why did you hesitate? What caused the delay? So to this he responded, Inni kuntu usalli. I was engaged in salah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Alam yaqulillah, does not Allah himself say in the Quran, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, istajibu lillahi wa lil rasul, idha da'akum lima yuhikum. That, O you who believe, O people of Iman, respond to Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam whenever Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam summon you or call you. Allah is commanding you, this adab and etiquette, that when the Nabi of Allah has to call you, when Allah has to summon you, or the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has to summon you, then respond immediately. This is an important adab and etiquette. Even if you are in salah, what is required, that nafil salah, out of the ihtiram and honor of the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you have to break that salah and respond immediately. So in other words, you should not have hesitated. When I called you, immediately you should have responded. This is Allah's hukam. This is Allah's command in the Quran. And thereafter, he continues that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, once he had taught him this adab and etiquette, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you and I, student doesn't do what he's supposed to do, you get upset. You get irritated. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, such was the compassion, such was the akhlaq, that immediately, after having corrected this mistake, he says to him, Allah wa'allimuka, should I not teach you something? Should I not teach you something? In other words, of great value. We've run out of time. Inshallah, we'll continue. Subhanallah.